I'd like to be like the bloodhound of the hedgerow tonight. I need to be. Mr. Borum, in one of his books, has a chapter on what he learned. You know, a spiritual man can learn from everything, and a carnal man learns from nothing. But in one of his chapters, he's got a title, and it's the Bloodhound of the Hedgerow. One day he was sitting out in one of those hedges, those stone hedges in Australia, and reading a book in the shade of a tree. In fact, I believe he might have been up in the tree on a wide limb when he heard a sound, and he looked down into the hedgerow, and he saw a rabbit fleeing in terror and being chased by a weasel. And the weasel, he said, and I didn't know this, but since I found it to be true, the weasel, the reason he called him the bloodhound was that he locks on to one particular scent. Once he fastens his radar, his scent, once he puts his nose to the scent of a particular rabbit, that rabbit can never get away. He can go anywhere the rabbit goes, and it doesn't matter how many rabbits that he runs through. It doesn't scatter him up. He goes through all the other rabbits and stays after that one rabbit, and he runs him till he runs him into the ground, and he simply gives up. And I'd like to be able to stay on one main line, but I don't know if I will tonight or not. There's a big lot of preaching here, and I don't know if I'll do any of it or not. But I'd like to fasten on to some things that I think are pertinent and relevant for the hour and preach to you tonight. This, I think it was Wednesday that when I was praying and studying here that this thought came to me. And it's a very simple lesson in some ways. But when the Spirit bid me read it, and I began to study it, it's just been getting bigger and bigger all along. In the book of 2 Kings, the third chapter, there is an interesting story told, a narrative given. And that's where I want us to look tonight. And I think, for the sake of time, that I'll just read our text verse. And that is verse number 16. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse number 16. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches." I want to preach tonight on a message that, and a thought that I have titled, "Wanted Ditch Diggers." Let's pray again. Oh, Father, thank you for what we felt and witnessed and seen tonight. Lord, for the visitation of Holy Ghost power up to this point in time. Now, Father, as we come to the preaching of your word tonight, would you lean upon us and help us, oh God, overshadowing us, anointing us, and strengthening us. God, would you touch the hearts and lives and ears of your people to hear. And, oh God, give us victory on the altar tonight. We ask it in the name of the Lord and Savior, the name of Jesus Christ. And the congregation said, amen. Amen. The story is this. Ahab, that wicked king, has died. He's been killed, slain in battle. Dogs have licked his blood, just as the prophet said it would happen. And Jehoram, the son of Ahab, is on the throne. And coming to the throne of his father, Moab, had been defeated and put under servitorship to Ahab. The king of Moab and the Moabite people were sheep masters. rendering unto Israel their due every year. But when Ahab died, Moab rebelled. He said, I ain't paying no more. And Mishael, the king, says, I'm not giving anything to you. Jehoram sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. And he asked him, would you form a league with me? And would you go with me and enter into a battle and against this king that has rebelled? And Jehoshaphat said, why, your people are my people, and your horses is our horses. We'll go. And they took counsel, and he said, now, how then shall we go? And Jehoshaphat said, let us fetch a compass and go up to the land of Edom. And we'll take the king of Edom with us, and we'll come around and there enter the land and defeat this army. Now, he knew that through this corner of the land of Edom, there was a river. And there should be water. But when they got there, fetching a compass from Edom, 7 days' journey into the wilderness, all they found was a dry, stony, dusty riverbed. There was no water for the army. There was no water for the cattle that followed them, nor the machinery they needed to pursue the enemy. Jehoram cried out and said, it's God. God has brought these three kings into the wilderness to deliver us into the hand of the enemy. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here? Is there not somewhere a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord? And someone said to the king, there is one named Elisha. It was he that poured water at the hands of Elijah. And so these three kings, now normally kings command. Normally kings send for. But in this situation, these three kings went down to the man of God. There's something about it. When you ain't got any water, and you're in a dry place, it'll bring you down. You may be a king. But a king without water is not much of a king. And so they went down to Elisha. And they bid him come out. Elisha came out. The king of Israel said to him, explain the plight. And he wouldn't even look at him. He said, why don't you go and inquire of Ahab and Jezebel's prophets? Why don't you go to your own prophets? He said, not so, man of God. And then he said, well, I'll tell you one thing. If it wasn't for the presence of Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even spit on you. I wouldn't look towards you. Nevertheless, bring me a minstrel. Now, some folks say us Pentecostals are emotional. We shout to the music. And sometimes they say, you got to have the music before you can get in the spirit. Well, that's not necessarily a rebuke. Real good singing. Real good playing. Real anointed music. Amen. We'll bring a spirit of worship in the heart of a man. And so, this man who was so agated at this heathen, and this idol-worshiping king needs something to calm him down a little. And so he played and sung. And the minstrel. And when he did, Elisha said, now, the Lord has said, dig some ditches. Now here we've got folk that had any water in 7 days. They've got an army that they don't yet know how strong he is. Just barely over the ridge top. And here we got folks saying in this hard soil, among the rocks and the roots, We want soldiers to dig ditches. I feel like I've been a praying. I've been a seeking the Lord. I know you have too. But I've been a begging God to give us a revival. You say, "Man, God, we just had a great move of God." I know it. But that's just showers of blessings. Mercy drops falling around us. But I feel like there's somewhere on the horizon. There's thunderheads, amen, that are banking up on the hillsides. That if some way we could rip that cloud, amen, and get a thunder, a bolt that would join the heavens, and we could see a clod soaker, amen, a gully washer, a river raiser, a refresher. So you see, the need here is for water. Water is life. These three kings are perilous without water. We tonight are perilous without the water of the renewal of the Holy Ghost. And while I realize that we are perilous, it is my desire for you tonight not to be prayerless. For it is a human nature, saying that when we ought to pray the hardest, we pray the least. You see, ditch digging is hard work. And ditch digging is especially hard work for soft hands. Ditch digging is not very rewarding work. When we talk about somebody being down and out and below our class, we talk about he's just a ditch digger. You're just an old ditch digger. But you see, tonight, we're going to need some ditch diggers. We're going to need some folk who knows how to dig a ditch. You see, it's a day that we need revival. And if you have revival, you got to dig. Oh, help me, Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost are coming. And we got some folks that need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And therefore, we need to dig. Oh, we got some folks that desperately need the healing virtue of the power of God. Therefore, we need to dig. We got some folks that are walking through the darkest time they ever walked through. We need to dig. You see, the prophet said, I want you to make this whole valley full of canals, ditches. Now, you ain't going to see. You won't see the wind. Thus saith the Lord, verse 17 said, you shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain. Yet this valley shall be full of water, and they that ye may drink, both ye, your cattle and your beast. Oh, glory. Have y'all often wondered how we can have a Holy Ghost service where you can just shout and the ladies sling hairpins, don't look like missiles in the air, where boys can run until they just can't run no more, where you feel like you can just reach out and get the mountaintop and rip it off and shake the rocks out of it. And then before Wednesday, you're as dry and as dead and as destitute and as grumpy and as complaining as you was before it fell. You see, I feel like the Lord's telling us we are praying for something we ain't ready for. We are asking for a revival, but we're asking for a river. We're asking for a gully washing storm. But you see, if there ain't no ditches dug, it'll refresh you for the moment. But if there ain't no place to receive it, you're just going to run off. I felt him breathe down my shirt collar. You might as well get your head up and square your shoulders, because I'm applying down your row. I'm going to get up just as close as I can to the corn.
I feel like tonight, you see, the reason, oh glory, the reason you have such a good message, and you know it's a good message, and you know it really blessed you in that moment, but 3 days later, you ain't got no idea where the text was taken from. You ain't got no idea what the points was. It run off you like water off a duck's back. You say, I don't know what he preached about, but man, it was good. You see, it was a blessing while it was there, but there wasn't no wells. There wasn't no reservoir. There wasn't no place for it to collect up and soak up the ground. You see, we are needing a blessing, we think. But when there ain't no ditches dug, all it does is bring a momentary refreshing. And then when the cloud passes over and the sun comes back out, it ain't the air you dried plumb out. Now the reason that it runs off is because there's too much other stuff there. And so tonight, you already got your shovel. You already got your orders. Now it's time to go to digging. Now, it ain't gonna be easy. I don't know what your rocks are. I don't know how many roots you got in the way. But I feel like that every one of us, amen, not just Rick, because he buried his soul the other night, but every one of us, amen, have got some things we need to get out. We need to dig us a well. We need to dig us a well so when the water does come, we'll have something to catch it in. You see, there ain't no use you praying for the baptism of the Holy Ghost with all this stuff in your life. There just ain't no use you praying. Amen, for God sends you help. Amen, when you got all that, there ain't no place for it to come to. Now I said already that ditch digging's hard work. Do you ever use a pick much? Or a shovel? Have you ever done any real honest to goodness ditch digging? You'd be surprised tonight how big the platform is of you. I know, oh glory. I'm a-wanting to preach, and I already shouted, and I'm too old and fat to do too much of that stuff. But I'm wanting to preach to you tonight what's been bubbling up in my soul. Now, I told you I had a lot of wrecks I could go in. I'm like that bloodhound of the hedgerow. I done run into the covey. And these trails are going everywhere. And every one of them needs chasing. But I don't know which way to go, hardly. Should I stay on the main line or stop and chase them a while and see where they go? I want to start to catch one or two tonight. And I'd like to catch a bunch. But you see, it's hard work. Now, wait a minute. Here. You mean you want me to lay my sword down and lay my spear down and put my shield up and spit on my hands and get me a grip on my shovel and go to moving and digging ditches? If you want a blessing, you better. You see, even us preachers sometimes, and we can feel like, well, we always got to have our sword. But you know, if we ain't careful, one preacher said one time, he got to, something got to eating on him. He got to seeing something coming around out there. And he said, I know there's a wolf. I know he's coming in and sheep's clothing. He said, so you know what I begin to do? He said, I begin to hunt me some rocks. That's a good one. Said, I kept hunting me every time I found a good smooth rock, a good hand-throwing rock, you know, one you can just wrap your fingers around and really throw. He said, I got me a pocket full of them rocks. He said, I was waiting on that wolf that I know was out there. He said, it's bothering me. And I wanted to shot him. He said, you know what? He said, I got to carry them rocks around with me until they got the rubbing calluses on my legs. And he said, while I was busy gathering rocks to kill wolves with, I forgot about feeding the sheep. If we ain't careful, boys, we'll get a big old rock in there. I mean, we feel like we need to keep it just in case, you know. Hey, we'll guard that big old rock, and we'll forget, you know, sure, that we're going to beat his head in the chase. We'll forget about feeding all them sheep. Hey, amen, it might be good tonight if we just get that rock out of the way. Hey, amen, and get the dirt dug out there that we can get some water to throw in. Boy, I've tried to dig a few times. And with the, in fact, one of the last jobs I had was, I had a high class name for it, and they paid me well, but I was a ditch digger. What I did was dig ditches. That's right. Laid sewer line in it, ceramic sewer line in those ditches. And the plan said, but it had to go down about 6.5 to 7 feet all the way through that plat. Now, it wasn't hard, that first 6 foot. It was gravel, small gravel, and clay and dirt. And that big old backhoe, crouch hole, man, he hit down through there, he just reached and get there. And all I had to do was just kind of wait to get out of my way. But you know what? After he got down about 6 foot, you hear him go, boom, 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 boom. And he goes, wham, boom, 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 wham. That's all for me, boys. And he back her up. He hit solid rock, he said. And then I had to go in there with that 90-pound jackhammer, crawl down in that ditch in the mud and the water. Fire that thing up and bust through that rock. And so that's my job all day long. I just bust her down. I think, surely, boys, it's down enough now. And I'd hang the little sight up there, and he'd take a shot of it. He'd say, I'd wipe the sweat and go again. After a while, I get her down there. He said, it's got to go a little bit farther. I said, man, and he said, listen, it's got to, not only got to go to the grade, it's got to go 4 inches below the grade so I can put some grass, some sand in there and bed that thing down good so it'll take the strain. You know what? It's pretty easy to make your plate. Oh, yes, in church. Amen. It's pretty easy to say, I'm going to do it. When everybody's shouting, I'm going to do it. Best job of the help of God. I'm going to make it. And when the back holes, I'm picking it up for you, but I'm up. But after a while, you hit the solid rock. Hey, man, you got to dig. You got to dig. You see, the wise man dug deep, and he got down on the rock. And it wasn't enough. I just had to get on the rock. I had to get down in the rock. I had to clean it off as smooth as it could be. I had to bust it out. And every now and then a piece of that rock would fly up and hit you in the face, you know, and just burn. And you was just sweating and that thing. I just like going and shaking you, you know. And sometimes I'd hit places where I'd just stand up. And it seemed like he'd go for an hour. And I wouldn't do nothing. But all of a sudden, it'd start cracking again. You know what? Sometimes we get up here on this altar and we get to praying. One fellow, he got to praying about praying for the Holy Ghost baptism. He got to praying. And he was just crying and seeking God, to chucking things off to the right hand and the left. He got to praying. He prayed right up to a big old grease gun. Another fellow got to praying. He prayed up to a store debt that he had went away and hadn't paid. And said, I ain't never going to pay you. You old fool, you just lost it. I beat you out of it. Ha ha. It went 20 years. But he got to praying. And that came up before him. You know what? before that fella could ever get to the Holy Ghost, he had to get that grease gun out of the way. Now, it may be whatever it might be. It might just be a big old root. But every time you take the diggers and hit that thing, it bounces back. It may be a big old root. It might be a root of bitterness. It may be a root of jealousy. It may be a root of selfishness. It may be self-centeredness. I'm preaching to you tonight about we're needing some dick diggers. Amen. I didn't feel like I have a lot of volunteers tonight running over each other to sign up. Amen. But we're needing, amen, not some more preachers. Amen. Not some song leaders, but somebody that'll dig a ditch. Without the ditches, it don't matter how hard it rains. God bless you. Bless your heart. It don't matter how much I preach to you, if you ain't going to do some digging. It may help you while you're in church, but it'll come tomorrow. And the sun's going to come out. You ain't got nothing. You ain't got no reservoir. You ain't got no reserves. It couldn't come upon you because there wasn't no room for it. You see, you got to empty out. Hey, I preached from it how many times. And I know it's a worldly illustration, but it's such a good one. Now, I just comes to my mind, I'm going to do it again. Man gets nervous. Pray and pray. But you see, back some years ago, when I wasn't saved, there was a little old song told a story. And it seems like that this fellow was walking across the desert. He hadn't had no water for a while. There was no water around. The situation had got desperate. He was now staggering. He realized, I can't go much further. To fall in these burning sands is to die. And when he felt like that he'd reached the last ounce of his strength, he stumbled up onto an old, run-down remnant of a shack that had once been there and blown away. And standing there was an old, rusty oil pump. One of them old pump guys. There was instructions chiseled that said this. I repaired, give the date. I repaired this well pump again. I took out all, replaced all the leather. I primed the pump and got it ready. Now, under that white rock, in that leather bottle where it can't evaporate, you'll find a bottle of water. Now, you got to take that bottle of water and prime the pump. You got to give before you get it. You can drink all the water you can hold. Wash yourself from your head to your feet. And then leave a bottle full for others. Thank you kindly, Desert Pete. Here I am with my little bottle of water. Oh, I'm seeing things are coming in here. I'm a dying of thirst. That old pump looks as rusty and as dry as it can be. Now what am I going to do? Drink the water or prime the pump? Bless God, you don't know what a hard time I'm having. It's just common sense for me to take care of my own family first. I ain't got enough for them and me too. Preacher, either I'm in trouble, I don't want to hear about ditch digging. I'm about to lose, I'm about to die. I ain't want to worry about sweating some more. Man, I'm a dying man. Listen to what he said. He said, you ain't going to hear this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, you shall not see the wind, neither shall you see the rain. Man, it might make some sense if I could just feel a little something. All I want to do is feel a little something. That ain't the way it works.
The writings of one that I've never seen. Should I believe the writings of one I've never seen and prime the pump? Or should I drink this little water and trust in myself? Man, this ditch digging's hard work. You ain't gonna work long until these blisters will come up on your hands. Then after a while, there'll be blisters on the blisters. And every time you move a big old rock and finally get it out of the way, you think that's enough. You say, dig on, boy. Keep it digging. Keep it digging. When I dug into a blessing, ain't that enough? I shouted last night, keep it digging. Man, I run, you should keep a digging. Man, I give to some, keep a digging. I sacrifice, keep a digging. Hey, man, you'll be surprised after a while what you'll find. You'll be surprised how much stuff you've got to move. Hey, man, get out of the way. Amen. I don't want the blessing. Well, if you are, just get you a wheelbarrow load. And when you do, push it over there somewhere and dump it. And go back and get you another and load it up. And push it over there and dump it. When you get prayed through on this, there'll be another and come. Put it in there and take it over. Get you a well dug.
Amen.
See? Well, I'll just tell you what. I just don't feel like God's going to ever bless until that hypocrite over in the corner moves. We could have a move of God if so-and-so would clean their life up. I want you to notice here, they wasn't the one good feller amidst them. I want you to know that if you quit looking around at the hypocrites, you know, one fellow said, I ain't never coming to your church. Why not? Too many hypocrites to come on, brother. One more won't make no difference. Yeah, don't let that bother you. One more won't hurt us a bit. Just come on. You see, no glory. If you get your ditch dug, if you get your ditch dug like it ought to be dug, it won't matter how many hypocrites they are. It won't matter how many ain't obeying the Lord, because when the Lord comes, He'll come in spite of them. But I said, this water, it don't matter. Joe Ram's there. It won't matter the King of Edom's there. Just dig you some ditches. Hypocrite can't stop it. His blessing don't come in spite of him. So all of Israel went to digging. And sometimes, no doubt, fellas dug over there and said, man, I got a big one over here. I tell you what, Mike, I need you to help me get this one. I mean, it's an old big old root of bitterness. It's just, it's aggravating me. It's eating on me. It's bothering me. And I can't hardly get rid of it. I got it loose. I got a pry bar under it. I've been praying and digging around it. But I wonder if you could just help me.
get this out of my life. Help me just get this. I want rid of this thing. I don't want this. God, I don't like this. I need you to help me with it. It's the biggest thing I've ever come up with against in my life. It's the biggest rock I've ever seen. There's more dirt around it. I don't know what in the world I'm going to do with it, but I got to move it before the blessing comes.
Amen.
And so if we have to get three or four, listen, brethren, I'd rather come down to the altar and say, brethren, would you meet me on the altar and pray with me tonight? I'm into it. I need some help. But if we're too stinking prideful, amen, we got that big old rock of pride now. We don't want nobody praying for us. We want to get it all by ourselves. We don't need nobody's help. Amen. We're going to get by with that. But you ain't. Amen. I want you to notice that he said, you won't see no signs. I've been giving my tithes. I've been paying faithful my tithes. I've been attending church real faithful. I've been trying to read my Bible. I've been praying. But I ain't feeling nothing. When I go to prayer, it's hard. I mean, I go to prayer and try to spend a few minutes in prayer and feel like I've been down a half hour and look up, it's been 5 minutes. I go to church, I think, well, a shorter night will be the night. But all I see is still darkness. It's still dark. I want you to notice that he said, when they got the ditches dug, and they must have dug nearly all night, they dug on through the dark. Because he said, at the time of the morning sacrifice, when there's a worshiping, at the morning sacrifice, in the time of the morning, here comes the blessing. After the darkness, the water comes in the morning. When the sun came up that morning, they hadn't heard no thunder. They hadn't felt no breeze blowing. But they looked away out yonder toward the land of Edom. I didn't think it'd come from that way. You know, I didn't think about it coming that way. You know, some people won't have it if it don't come a certain way. I never thought about the God moving in that. But it came from the land of Edom. They looked up that riverbed. And here come a wall of water. Right down that old riverbed. Every time it hit a channel, it just run off and filled that channel. And it run off and filled that channel. And it run off and filled that channel. And it run off and filled that. 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 Until every well, every ditch was full and running over. There was enough for the cows to drink. There was enough for the beasts to drink. There was enough for them to all get a drink. And it was still standing everywhere. But listen to what he said. Not only shall you all drink, but this is a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He's going to deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And you shall smite their fenced cities and every choice city and fell every good tree and stop all their wells of water and mar every good piece of ground with stones. You see, when this life-giving water does flow, it won't be just enough to bless you a little. It won't be enough to shout you some. There'll be an abundance of water. There'll be, Jesus said, the thief cometh to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that ye might have life, and that more abundantly. It's one thing to have life, but it's something else to have abundant life. It's one thing. You know, we grew up with an old well that never did have enough water in it. We always had to be real careful with the well. You know what? When that city water come, and you just go over and turn the spigot on, and you let it run all day long if you want to. Let it run all night long if you want to. Let it run for a week if you can afford to. And when you get done letting it run, drive over yonder to the lake and measure it. Oh, rods you've used. I ain't took it down. I ain't tenth of an inch. It's still right over there just like it was. Amen. I want you to know that if you ever do get your ditch dug, if you ever do get your well dug, if you ever do get what God's got for you, amen, when he turns the spigot loose, don't worry about running out. Amen. Just let it roll over and over and over and over and over and over. Amen. For that's what he wants. Drink all ye whole. Take your bath in it. You know, I heard one fella say, when he got to the river of the water of life, God, he go lay and get a drink out of it. Another fella said, I'm going to wade through it. I thought to myself, them two people are going to get together somewhere. But this don't matter. And this ain't enough for everybody. There's enough for you to wade and me to drink. Hey, man, there's enough for you to go swimming in. Amen. And me to water the flowers in. Amen. Oh, glory. Amen. Well, you may not think this is much, but I'll tell you what's truth. I'd like to dig around you. Amen. Water of life. You know what it was? Help me now, Lord, and stand by me, sweet Jesus, and be sweet to me right now. Help me be sweet. To the ditch diggers, it was the water of life. It was deliverance. To the Moabites who came out the next morning, they looked at that valley full of water and they said, it's red. That's blood. That's blood. They've killed each other. To the spoils, Moab! To the spoils! And they went rushing down thinking they'd find a bunch of dead folk. And what they found was folk ready to fight. And they'd been a drinking and a bathing and a rejoicing and a getting stronger. And they'd just stand there waiting for him to come. Amen. The devil stood over on the way on the other side and said, I've got you now. Come on, boys, let's go get him. He's done give up now. That's the color of blood. To the one that's alive. If you ain't careful, God bless your heart. God help you. If you ain't careful, while he's digging his ditch, you'll be sitting over here in the corner. While they're over there and the waters are flowing, you'll say, that don't look like water to me. That ain't the way I seen it. That ain't the way I see it. If you ain't careful, you'll be a dying while they're living. Amen. Amen. Wanted. Some folks knows how to dig ditches. Amen. Kings are powerless without water. It don't matter. We need revival. We need a revival. And there ain't but one way we're going to have a revival. It's going to start with you. You're going to have to dig a ditch. Amen. You're going to have to dig a ditch. Get every rock. Get every stump. Get every bit of the dirt and litter out of it. Get every one of them roots. Cut them roots loose. And get everyone, throw them out of there. We need a revival. The Holy Ghost ain't going to come in there as long as there's one thing and there ought not to be. Did you know you can be a giver of your finances and a helper, but if you ain't got a giving heart, I've been praying lately for God to give some of you a giving heart. You know, almost ever since Rick growed up and got big enough to, he gets my clothes when I get me some new. But you know what? That ain't giving him nothing. I clean my closet out of stuff that I ain't wearing no more. And I give it to Rick. And he appreciates it and wears it to church. But I ain't give him nothing. You know, we'll get all hyped up. Say, I'm gonna tell you something. I said, well, what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy. Little Andrew's got close to my heart. So I'm going to buy Andrew a pair of shoes. Just because I want to. I'm going to buy him some tennis shoes. Now, if I go uptown and I find me down at the dollar store and I buy him, he may be glad of them. But if that ain't what I'd have bought for Brent when Brent's that size, I ain't bought a thing. Hello, thank you, you're welcome. You can keep the change on that. Amen. Amen. You drag something out from a cheap store that you wouldn't wear to a dog fight and say, here, you take this, and think, man, they ought to wear it. Because if you wouldn't, you ain't nothing but a hypocrite. Amen. That's right. You ain't yield nothing. I'm going to go to the store. I hear you're on hard times, and so I'm going to buy you some groceries. Now I'm going to buy me a T-bone steak, and I'll see if I can get you bologna. And while I'm out here, a whole chunk of this borderline stuff. Here's your whole chunk of bologna. Now eat that. Man, I done something good. You ain't nothing but a moss-backed hypocrite. Amen. You need to dig your well some deeper. Amen. The Bible says he prefers his brother before him. Well, bless God, I got mine. I climbed out on the top and I got mine. Well, who helped you get it? Who was it decided you'd be born with all your ducks in a line, with all your chromosomes in place, that you wouldn't be an imbecile? And somebody had to put your clothes on you. Who gave you the knowledge to do what you are doing? Well, bless God. Say, I told you I need to stay on the main line. I need to chase this thing to the end. We're needing a revival. We're needing a revival. Did you realize? I said, oh God, I made a statement. I believe it was to Brother Mike Roberts, to one of the preaching brothers. I made a statement to him. I said, we're in the midst of the biggest revival. I said, I ain't seen the likes of it in years at Bond. I said, we're having it. I said, ain't got time to deer hunt for it. I said, ain't no preaching going on. We're having revival. I said, Brother Mike, in the midst of revival, I've got folks fixing the backslide. I've got folks that's barely are hanging on. I've got folks that shout tonight, next week to be right back in that same place waiting again. He said, you know something? I've noticed that same thing. Well, I've been thinking about that ever since. I've been searching about that ever since. I've been saying, God, they got to be answered that somewhere. Well, I believe Wednesday, when I least expect it, when I was looking for something else, all of a sudden, I stumbled over a handful on purpose. Right here it is. We just simply ain't prepared. We ain't got our heart prepared. We want a revival, but we ain't ready to receive the engrafted Word of God that we can grow thereby. It bounces off our heart because it's hard and dry. It ain't been broke up. It ain't been emptied out of the rocks. You know, I always said if we spend as much preparation on our garden stuff as we did tobacco patches when we used to grow them, we'd grow better gardens. Now, it took some preparation. When old Dad wanted his tobacco bed sold, he didn't just pick out any place. He picked out the best place he could find. Now, in the days, Bully had all these chemicals and things, and he put us to cutting brush in February. We'd cut brush and we'd drag logs and we'd cut brush until we'd lay us a... I mean, he had to be just exactly right. He had to burn a certain way. And then after he got it all burnt, I mean, there wasn't nothing left but ashes, looked like. He'd put us in there, busting it up, chunking it up. And he wanted every little old root that we found out, every little old rock. I mean, after a while, he wanted you to rake it. I think, man, just as loose and as level. And then he'd say, now you get me a good big trench around it. I ain't want no water running through it after a while of ruining it. You know what? If we prepare for the blessings of God that way, amen. Instead of being satisfied with just a quick a shout tonight, a hoop and a holler, I run tonight, and I shouted tonight, bless God, it'll be all right till Wednesday night. I got it made now. Well, I prayed hard this week. Well, I got a good week last week. This week will be. No, it won't. If you didn't pray, y'all get your ditch dug and get it filled up. You see, if you get that ditch filled up, it'll last you for a while. If you know you got you a ditch full, when you get dry, you just go over and pull up on the gate a little. It'll run out in the field, irrigate your crop, until you can have something to feed us with when winter comes. Amen. It's a day that we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost for folks to quit digging. Bible said they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. One fellow told me, he said, I've been praying for the Holy Ghost. He said, for nigh on 16 years. I said, no, you ain't. Yeah, I have. I said, no, you ain't. Yeah, I said, no, you ain't. I said, you may have been on the altar, fooling around, flopping around, wallowing here and yonder, in and out, but you ain't been a praying that long. But the Bible said that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. You see, a lot of our praying is trying to argue with God and tell Him how it ought to be. We ain't careful. Our prayer will be, but this is the way I want it. Now, God, it looks to me like, now I know your book said this, but now, Lord, I don't think you meant that, did you? Watch what I'm going to do. You read it. As plain as you can read it. You say, watch what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray over that. I'm going to fast about that. I can save you some time. If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I'll believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will last forever throughout eternity. Ain't got one jot nor tittle of it changed. He said, you ain't going to change one tittle of the I. You ain't going to change one cross of the T or dot of the I. It's going to be that way. Won't it? Anybody need a job? We need some ditch diggers around Bond. Now, I don't need you to dig on my property. I want you to dig you a reservoir over at your place. I want you to get one dug over there big enough that when the rain comes the next time, you'll get you a bucket full of it and take it home with you. Well, you can just splash it all week long. Everybody comes by, just splash a little water on them. Amen. It'll come when you least expect it. It may catch you powerless, but don't let it catch you proudless. Don't let us be without water. No, it ain't easy. I'm going to tell you something. It ain't easy. That preacher talked about forgiving. It ain't easy to forgive. You say, I used to say, if he just asked me, I'd forgive him. But that ain't the way it works. You forgive him where he asks or not. You know when the rose smells the sweetest? When it's being crushed. You crush it and all it does in return is send out its sweetest fragrances. It hurts. And it ain't natural. Just suppose that handed down through your family from your father's side down from father to son, father to son, there was this priceless vase, an heirloom, worth a lot of money, but worth more sentimentally. It was the insignia of the family. It was the coat of arms, if you will, of the family. It had all the traditions bound up in it. And your dying father, on his deathbed, said, it was passed down to me. Mark, I'm going to give it to you. And then, though you've got it set up in a place where it's protected, I just come in. What's that? And reach up at it. And I just break it into a million slimy pieces that you can't ever put back together. Destroyed and gone forever. And I've done it. I've done it irreverently. I've done it almost contemptuously. I've done it willfully. And then I say, will you forgive me? I'm preaching on digging some ditches. Forgive you? Forgive you? But you know what the Bible says? If you don't, you can't go to heaven. It may not change me. I may still die and go to hell. I may still be as reckless as I ever was. But if you don't get it out between you and God, you see, peradventure, for a good man, some would dare to die. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, when we were cussing Him and taking His name in vain and drinking and carrying on and breaking all of His commandments and mocking Him while we were doing it, He died for us. You see, if you ain't careful, you get caught up in stuff and you forget about digging your ditch. You forget what this thing's all about. We're saved by grace. But by the grace of God. Oh, I can look and say, God, don't let me ever be what they are without judging you harshly. But what I'm saying, let me remember, but for the grace of God, that's what I'd be. I'd be selfish. I'd be self-centered. I'd be all the things that I hate. I would be all of them except for the grace of God. We need a revival. We need a revival. We need the clouds to come over us and to rain upon us, not just mercy drops that are around us now falling. Oh, but for showers, for thunderstorms to wash away. But we're going to have to do some digging. And it's hard, discouraging, disgusting sometimes. And oh, we'll say, I ain't doing no good. I just ain't doing no good at this. I just ain't doing no good at this. I've been thinking, man, I've been hearing this for grace. And then right in the middle of what I'm hearing this for grace. When I least expected it, I thought, what's that? What's that icy cold hand I feel? Man, I thought you was dead. I buried you years ago. Well, it's been a long time. But I recognize you. And you ain't going to keep me from getting in this time. I'm going to just bury you a little deeper. I'm gonna dig me a big old well out here. Because I'm a wanting a revival. I'm a wanting a revival in my soul. Amen. L.L. Collins told me this scene. He said, I feel like there's a move of God on. He said, I don't know what it is. He said, I don't know if the Lord's are coming back. We're going to have a revival. He said, I don't know which way it's going. I said, Brother Collins, I don't either. I don't know what's going on. But if there's one thing about it, I want to be in on it. I want to be in on it. I want to be ready. Amen. So I tell you what we want you to do tonight. I want you to hunt up your rake, hunt up your shovel, hunt up that old big old pick that you ain't seen for a while. And dig. And dig. Until your heart gets exposed. It ain't easy. And you know what? These people here tonight that you ain't got no idea what it cost Rick Combs to rip that thing out and let you look at his heart the other night. You ain't even begin to come. But you know something? You ain't going to never do any good until you do the same thing. You ain't going to get no further along with God until you do the same thing. You're going to lose out and die right where you are. You're going to die in a land of plenty. You can backslide with the rain of falling. You can lose out with God with the blessings coming all around you because you won't dig down. You're going to have to dig. If God's already said, I'll do more than you've asked me to, just keep a digging. Keep it digging. Man, I'm tar. Dig. I'm so tar. Dig. Dig, man. Dig. I didn't ever fight. I didn't ever go to and most of you younger people don't know what it is to be in war. But I've talked to those fellas. They throw them that little shovel and said, carry it on your back. And some of them thought they didn't need it. I said, dig in. And some dig a little. But you know what? If they live through that first bar fight, the next time they dug in. The deeper you dig, the deeper you dig, the safer you are. The deeper you dig, the less targets you'll be for the enemy. The deeper you dig down in your own heart, the more that stuff you throw out, the more room there'll be for God to pour it in. And He will. Everything you throw out, He'll pour something else in. Let's keep a digging. Let's dig a well. Let's dig a well. Let's dig a well. Hey, man, let's make this valley. Oh, you say, I'm going through a valley. Let's make it full of ditches. You say, I'm going through a dark place. Let's make it full of ditches. Hey, man, come on, let's dig a while. Hey, man, let's dig. You just got one hand left. Dig with one hand. Hey, man, claw your fingernails. But let's get this thing out and have a revival, would you? Hey, man, hey, man, I'd like to see them, oh my God, that sank this country. Hey, man, I'd like to see these old fellas saved around here. Hey, man, I'd like to see the halt and the lame and the maimed and blind and the crippled come into the house of God, that His house might be full before He comes. But my friends, before we can help them, we're going to have to dig us a well, dig us a canal out of the river to our place. And when it overflows, every time it overflows, He'll just keep adding to you. Amen. Well, these things still are coming. I may come back to this and preach on it. I could preach a week on this. And I just feel like I barely half scrapped the surface of what I wanted to preach to you about tonight. But I've already looked like preaching an hour. It's time to come to the altars. It's time to